Welcome, everybody, to the next episode of InfoSec Whiskey. I am your host, Ushi. Today's episode, Master Mechanic to Master Hacker, I have joining me as my guest, my coworker, Matt Horger. Matt, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So before we get started, I just want to do a real quick disclaimer that while Matt and I do work for the Big G, this podcast and our discussion, our thoughts, our feelings, our comments do not reflect our employer. So, you know, don't blame them if we're weird. So now that we got that out of the way, welcome. I'm so happy that you're here. How are you doing?
I am good. I'm a little sick, but.
Poor Matt just got back from Vegas, not the DEF CON one, but still apparently Vegas is is ground zero right now, it seems like, for everyone.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So Matt, big congratulations. You recently passed your OSCP.
Yep.
Yeah.
Recently did that a couple weeks ago.
And remind me again, how many tries did it take you to get there?
It took me one try.
One try. And how long did you take that test for?
Well, I did do the full 24 hours, but I had a passing score in 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours. So for those that aren't familiar with OSCP, it is basically kind of like the because they're, I'm thinking entry as in there's OSCE, but OSCP is basically like the hacker certification. It's one of those certifications that you really can't cheat on. You have to hack into boxes and you have to, it's kind of like a capture the flag. Would you agree?
Yep. All while being proctored. So you have to have your camera on.
And don't you have to, like, if you have, if you like need to go to the bathroom or whatever, like you have to let your proctor know?
Yes, but you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for their response. You can just tell them you're going to the bathroom and then just get up.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's nice. 3.5 hours. That's so awesome. And like you mentioned, like you get 24 hours to take the test. And most people are like hitting those boxes right up until that period. And you were able to do it in 3.5. That's so awesome. What do you think that your secret was to being so prepared?
That's a tough one. I think I was honestly overprepared, so maybe that's the secret. OSCP, I know it's a difficult exam. I don't want to take that away from it, but from my experience, I thought it was a lot easier than I was preparing for. I've never met someone in person who's passed the first time, let alone real fast like that. So I definitely overprepared, which I think helped paid off. Yeah, so lots of hacking. I think that was the biggest one, like actually hopping on Hack the Box or OSCP or Offensive Security has Proving Grounds. And then there is some lab boxes from OSCP. But yeah, I've been doing like CTFs and Hack the Boxes for a long time. So I think that's what I'll help prepared.
That's so awesome. So so we kind of said it at the beginning, right? Master Mechanic to Master Hacker. So your background prior to getting into security was you were a Master Mechanic.
Yep. I started as a mechanic when I was probably 19 or 20, like right out of high school. And I did that for 8 years. And then a couple of years in, I earned my Master Mechanic status. So it was the same kind of thing, like ASE tests are like kind of like the OSCP, and getting your Master Mechanic status, like that's like the big one. It's where you get all of the tests. I don't remember how many there is, but there is a handful of them, from brakes all the way to automatic transmissions and engine performance and things like that. So I tried to get them as fast as I could, and that's what I did. So I was a Master Mechanic at like 21. And then, yeah, I've been in IT now for under 5 years. I'm still in my fourth year in IT.
That's so awesome. And I think we've actually been together now. I was thinking about it earlier today. I think we've worked together for almost 3 years.
Yeah, I think it's coming up in maybe October, I think, is my third year here.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it'll be my fifth year in IT in around October time.
So when you decided that you wanted to make the switch over into security, what did your like path of training or, you know, experience? How did you get all that?
Yeah, it was kind of unconventional. While I was a mechanic, so me and my wife have been together since high school. So her sister's husband was a mechanic, a diesel mechanic, and then he made the switch over to IT and ended up getting into cybersecurity eventually. And he's been kind of like trying to get me into it for a while. While I was a mechanic, I was really good at electronics and like engine performance, like the check engine lights and computers and all that stuff. And then eventually, yeah, he eventually convinced me just to do it. But I've always kind of been into computers a little bit. Like I've used Linux while I was a mechanic. Like I had old laptops that he showed me how to put Linux on. I remember Puppy Linux was like a thing that I used to put on old laptops. I used to like rooting my Android phones and doing that kind of stuff just for no reason at all. I wouldn't do anything with anything. And then eventually I had a pretty bad day at work. My back was killing me and I had to do this recall on these Ford vans where you had to like bend backwards and do the job like that. And I got home and I was like, I'm done doing this. So I ended up calling up DeVry University, an online school, thinking I had to get a degree to actually make the jump into IT. And I signed up for classes right away. Did that for a year and a half. And then I think I had another bad day at work and I was like, yeah, I'm done being a mechanic. I'm going to start applying, even though I don't have a degree yet. Like I've done a lot of stuff, which I can get into, but yeah, after a year and a half, I started applying at jobs and I got a job at Foot Locker as a Linux admin, and dropped out of school right away. Cause yeah, it was too much work.
Yeah. So, you do a lot on Hack the Box, right?
Didn't originally, before getting into IT, I figured I had to like pick something that paid a lot because I couldn't take like a pay cut switching over because I had kids and a mortgage and all that. Right. So my brother-in-law was telling me that people who know Linux get paid good money. So that's what I went with. So I just started learning Linux on my own, not on my own completely, but he helped a lot. So he would give me like projects to do, and he would like make up funny scenarios. Like, first, we had to build like a couple lamp stacks, set up like database servers, set up LDAP, have actual like users in the environment. And then he would say, all right, well, you know, he'd make up weird names and like common names in like IT. Like you hear a lot of like Sandeep or like Mandeep is a common name. And he'd say like Sandeep just got fired because we found a bunch. He'd make up funny things that I probably shouldn't repeat, but they found a bunch of stuff on his computer and he got fired. So now we hired a new person who, you know, now you have to erase all of Sandeep stuff and then provision, you know, all these hard drives over to the new user and just do weird things like that, which were actual like real world stuff. So
yeah.
By the time I had my interview for a Linux admin, they were just impressed with like everything I've done at home. Like I had zero experience in computers, like work experience. And then I was just able to just talk their ears off of all the things that I did. I didn't mention all the funny names and like all the funny situations of why people got fired and I had to get rid of their users and stuff, but that taught me a lot. And that's how I ended up getting that Linux admin job. I always wanted to get into securities. So that was the ultimate goal, but I knew I had to get my foot in the door first.
So where did you go from there? Once you got the, your Linux admin.
Yeah. So that was actually, I said Foot Locker, but it was actually a contract through Foot Locker. So it was through a staffing agency or whatever, the recruiting company, Brooksource. And that was a 1-year contract. And after 6 months, I got hired on by Foot Locker full time. So then I was a Linux engineer at that point. And then I stayed there another 6 months. And by that time, I had become friends with like the whole security team. And I was the one who would like set up their servers. Like I always made a deal to grab like the tickets I had to deal with, anything security, any kind of security appliance, you know, nice. Any kind of server I could stand up, that's what I would do. And then a role opened up on their team for threat intelligence analyst. And I thought it sounded really cool and started researching everything I could on threat intel and then applied for the job and interviewed and got the job on Foot Locker security team. So
very cool. Very cool. And so how long did you work on their security team before you joined Mandiant?
That was 1 year I only spent on their team. So 2 years total at Foot Locker. Yeah, after the year, well, I did a lot during that year. I gave like a few talks, a few virtual ones, a few live ones. We basically set up their whole threat intelligence platform. It was me and another coworker. Nice. We were the first threat intelligence analysts, to work at Foot Locker. yeah, did that for a year and then just kind of realized like I was moving up pretty far and I have a family and one of my big goals is money. I know people don't like to say that or like money shouldn't be the drive, but money's a big driving factor for me. Like I wouldn't do it.
If somebody's never had to like count their like hay pennies, then they don't understand why that is an important goal. So I totally get that.
Oh yeah. So yeah, if this industry didn't pay well, I probably wouldn't ended up here.
Right.
So yeah, so I wanted more money and just kind of my coworker ended up leaving. And he got like, I don't know, like a $30,000 pay increase for leaving Foot Locker. And I was
Holy
like, wait,
cow.
what a minute. Like, I didn't know you could get that much money. Like me and him are pretty much, you know, same skill set, same experience. So I just started applying at places that sounded really cool. And Mandiant was one of them. And luckily I got the call back and I mean it is luck too. I know a lot of people like ask me all the time too, like how do I get interviews? How do I, you know, how did you like honestly like I applied at hundreds of places and like one called me back. Like
Yeah.
that's getting lucky in my eyes. Like it's not always you can do it whatever you can to your resume, make it look as best as you can. But if that recruiter isn't feeling it like that day, then you don't get an
Yeah.
interview and kind of sucks. But yeah.
Very cool. It seems like it was kind of a whirlwind. Like
What's that?
you went from mechanic to Mandiant and just, you know, like what, a year? You're in some change.
Yeah, you're in some change. Yeah, no, it was unbelievable. That's for sure. Like, I never would have thought any of that would happen. But you'd mentioned Hack the Box. So during all my time at Foot Locker, even when I was a Linux admin, I attended DEF CON like as a Linux admin. I would do CTFs with like some coworkers, like my. One of my coworkers is now like one of my best friends, JJ. I think you might have met him before, maybe not. But yeah, so we would do CTFs all the time. We would go to security conferences. We would definitely dry Foot Lock. We would run Foot Locker dry on their conference budget because no one else would ask to go to conferences. And we were like, well, our manager too was like, hey, I'll give everyone a chance to ask. And if no one, like, I guess you guys are going again this
Yeah.
year to somewhere. And
Nice.
so yeah, we went all over the place. We went to DEF CON, we went to Black Hat. We actually got free admission from a company called Demisto. That was one of the perks of working at like a smaller like Foot Locker, not really a security company. So everyone's trying to sell them products. So like they give you some pretty good stuff for it. I know we're at Mandiant, so no one's really trying to sell Mandiant security products. So
You haven't seen my email.
yeah.
So, for people who are interested in, you know, kind of going from a place where they're not super technical, or maybe they have like some Linux administration background, if they wanted to get more into understanding, you know, like red teaming, hacking, you know, that side of the world, what kind of resources did you find to be the most helpful on your journey?
Definitely Hack the Box helped a lot, but it's kind of hardcore like to jump into Hack the Box or
Yeah.
even like even CTFs in general, they're pretty tough. I know like the first CTFs I've joined, like I didn't get any flags and I didn't know what was going on, but that definitely exposed me to what I didn't know. So it kind of like gave me motivation to be like, well, why didn't I know that? How come other people know that? Yeah, Udemy, I've taken a couple of courses on there, pretty cheap courses. I'm trying to think some of the best courses. One of the best courses I've ever had was from Mandiant. It was their red team course. They came to Foot Locker and gave us that course and I loved it. I
Very cool.
that's what definitely took my hacking level to a whole new like where I could actually do CTFs and get flags or I could start running through Hack the Box boxes. I think there's nowadays, I think there's a lot more than when I was trying to look for things. I know people now ask me that same question and I always like turn them towards like John Hammond videos. Like I like John Hammond videos a lot. He breaks down a lot of different topics in cybersecurity. It's not just red teaming. It's also like stuff that me and you do in our day-to-day, like reversing malware and trying to deobfuscate things and figure out what things are doing. That helps a lot. The show Mr. Robot kind of gets you into it too a little bit. Like I like that show
Yeah.
a lot and got me curious and wanted to look up things that he was doing. And yeah, conferences and Hack the Box, I think were the big things for me.
Nice. So I do have a little bit of a surprise for you. So, you know, I was just at DEF CON And I actually talked to John about you. And I was telling him, like, we ran into each other kind of in the hallway and we're chatting and I mentioned that, you know, you were getting ready to
like John Hammond's name just popped up on the look at that. Wow. Hello, sir.
Hey.
So for those who are listening, John Hammond just entered the chat.
How's it going, everyone? I'm sorry, I didn't want to crash the party.
No, we want you to crash the party. John, meet Matt. Matt, meet John.
How's it going, Matt? Congrats on all the success. I hear you crushed OSCP. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Wow, it's good. Nice to meet you. Yeah, kind of weird. It's like I'm watching a YouTube video. But
yeah, probably weird over Zoom, right? But appreciate it and happy to hang out for a little bit.
Yeah, we were just to catch you up. Obviously, you know, we've had some technical difficulty, but thank you for still making it. Matt was just saying that some of your videos have been super helpful and the way that you break things down. And I totally agree. I love your videos, the way that you break them down in a way that at least my brain is able to understand it. And wanted to at least get Matt to, you know, say hi to John. I've seen so many of your videos pop up in our work chat. So.
Well, goodness. Hey, I'm flattered and, thanks so much. It's a lot of fun. It's a labor of love, kind of a passion project, but I'm very, very happy to hear when it helps.
Yeah.
That was a really good plug, huh? I was just like talking about that as a resource and then John Hammond comes on. That's pretty awesome.
I'm telling you, is it amazing the technology we have to just pop John Hammond into our Zoom? Well, so thank you so much. I'm so glad that you were able to join us. And basically what we're just talking about is, so Matt went from being a mechanic, about four, almost 5 years ago. And then went into Linux admin and then actually, just pounded through as much education as he could, training programs, YouTube, you know, he was on Hack the Box. Like Matt is actually, I think still, one of the pros on Hack the Box.
Pro hacker nice. Status. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congrats. Yeah.
And I just found out Matt actually, aced his, master mechanics. What is it? MSCCEHRJK element of P, his, whatever the certification is. What did you say it was, Matt?
For master mechanic?
Yeah.
That I just did it, you said, or no?
No. I was saying you were just telling me, Matt. Basically, just like OSCP, where he crushed it in 3.5 hours, he did basically the same thing when he became a master mechanic. He did that in a very short amount of time and became a master mechanic at a very young age. So I think what I'm learning about Matt is he's just wicked smart.
That's awesome.
And motivated, yeah.
Well, hey, more power to you.
Yeah, not so much being smart. People always say that, like, you're really smart. And I don't think it's, like, just, like, being able to do something and just, like, give it your all. And because it does suck. Like, it's not fun. I always tell people that, too. Like, security is, like, really hard. And these topics are a lot of times really boring. And that's why I appreciate videos that John makes, because he makes it really fun. And I love the thumbnails. Like, they're so, like, I'll have them playing, like, in the living room. And my wife's like, what are you watching? And I was like, it's, like, IT stuff. She's like, oh, great. I'm like, no. John's videos are different. Like, he has a lot of energy in the way he talks. And it keeps you really engaged. Because I don't know if it's like that for everybody. But for me, like, IT topics are boring. Like, I've been to some conferences and heard talks. And I'm like, I need the coffee to kind of stick into it. It's really awesome, but yet it's pretty complex and it gets you thinking. So I think pushing through that and like finishing something is kind of what has gotten me things like in this career field.
So can I ask, does that just drill down to a whole lot of practice, a whole lot of like time dedicated to it? I don't know how much you were already kind of bantering and riffing on all the OSC prep, but I think there are tons of people that are just going to be fascinated. Like, how did you crush this thing in like 3 hours or just around that? Like, how? You know, give us the secrets.
Yeah. I was kind of telling Ursula or Ushi a little bit about it, but I always describe people like hacking is kind of like a video game to me. Like if you're not playing every single day, like, you're not going to be very good. I know, like, in the days of like Call of Duty, when I was an adult with kids already, like I'd want to hop online and just have a little fun. And I don't have fun because I'm getting killed left and right because everyone is so good because they've been doing it every day. So then if I actually take the time and do it every single day, I get better and better and better. I think hacking is like that too. Like you just keep doing it every day. I have some friends that are kind of struggling to pass the OSCP. And from their study plans, it's a lot of reading, a lot of watching videos and reading, but not so much hacking, not so much doing hack the boxes or proving grounds. And I think that's what helped me a lot is doing so many boxes. Like that's just what it was. And I did all of IPSec stuff. I said this kind of a controversial statement the other day to my brother-in-law. I told him that IPSec videos, I don't think helped me very much. I think it over-prepared me and it got my mind thinking too much because he breaks down the topics so well. Yeah. And I think for OSCP, they don't really require that level of knowledge. It's almost like they require your ability to just Google something really fast and like find the first thing that's like pops up or that looks like it might work and then trying it and, you know, moving on to the next thing if you can't get to it. Where when IPSec goes through his videos, he does break down like the why and what and how it works and why it's working. And then he'll show you like six different ways you can do the same thing or, you know, use tools or don't use tools, which is great information. But for me, that was flooding my brain too much and it made me feel really overwhelmed. Like, man, this is going to be insanely hard because I can't even follow along with him anymore because he's, you know, teaching me how these Windows internals work. And, you know, curve roasting was a thing that like I struggled trying to understand and like LDAP in general. And I still think I don't really understand that much, but I learned how to like hack it. I learned how to like, you know, get user SBNs and use those to like, you know, get creds and do things like that or get some hashes and pass the hash. And so that's something I got really good at. But as far as like how it's all built together, maybe I have a lot more to learn still.
That's all right. I know there's like kind of two direction between like, hey, building it and like creating the environment for your own like development sake and breaking it. And that's totally okay. Cause like you're in an exam and an environment to try to break it. how much was the Active Directory a component for you? Like, did that feel like more of a fear than the rest of the exam? Or was it the rest of the exam seemed like more of a, I don't know, a little bit harder or difficult than the Active Directory? As I know a lot of folks get super spun up on Active Directory in a spooky way.
Yeah, no, the hard part for me was the standalone boxes. I got the whole Active Directory set in under 2 hours. Nice. Yeah, and that was just, it was just, things were just working for me. Everything I searched, everything that I found that I went for, like, that was it. That was the way. And it went so smooth. I was really hung up on pivoting. There was, during my like practice, I had like this lab that I was working on and you had to pivot through the network and then you had to get files back to your Kali machine once you pivoted, like using Chisel. And I was having a hard time getting things back to my Kali machine versus going this way where you had to set up another tunnel to do that. And I was struggling with that. And I ended up kind of like giving up that, trying to learn that anymore. And moved on to something else. And during the exam, I did have to pivot. And then I was trying to use Evil WinRM to try to.
Nice. Yeah.
So yeah, I got a shell and I was doing things. And I tried running Mimikatz to dump creds. But when you use Evil WinRM with Mimikatz, you're in a non-interactive like shell. Mm. So you can't run Mimikatz. It like just spits a bunch of Mimikatz hashtag on your screen. And I was like, oh no, like I'm not going to be able to run Mimikatz. I was able to access the SAM and system file, but I need to get it back to my Kali machine now to try to extract hashes from there. And I was freaking out and I was like, this is it. This was going to stop me because I didn't take the time to try to learn how to double pivot or double tunnel through the network. Ended up just getting this idea that, you know what, I've used PS exec before. Like, I'm pretty sure that drops you in like a CMD interactive shell. So I switched over to PS exec and I was able to run Mimikatz and take over the domain. So
awesome. Awesome.
Very cool. So you guys, you know, normally when we have one of these get togethers, we drink. We haven't even brought up drinking. Matt, I know you said you were going to bring you were drinking some scotch. What you got over there?
I have my favorite scotch, my favorite whiskey. I don't know, it's going to blur it out, but it's Lagavulin 16. If you're familiar with the show Parks and Recreation.
Yes.
Yeah, popular. That's awesome.
It made popular there, but yeah. I'm a little sick today, John. I actually didn't go to work. I went to work. I got kicked out of work. I was told to get offline. What am I doing? And I was like, well, I gotta, you know, get prepared for the day because I have Ursula's podcast later, and I need to make sure I'm good. But yeah.
Well, so, I hope you're feeling better soon. Yeah. At least you got the weekend to hopefully relax a little bit.
Definitely.
Well, I'm going to pour a little bit for you because I want to cheers you and your amazing accomplishment that you did. That's so awesome. Now, I know it's a little early where you are, John. So are you drinking with us?
So this is a guilty pleasure, right? I don't do coffee, and I honestly don't drink a whole lot of like alcohol or whiskey or any of those. Truthfully, I will like every now and again. It is a little bit early over here. I'm on the West Coast these days, but I am awful for a whole lot of energy drinks.
Nice.
And this is their new flavor of like strawberry lemonade, and it's delicious. So this is my drink of choice tonight.
All right. Well, let's do a quick cheers to Matt, because that's so awesome. Congratulations, Matt.
Cheers.
I'm drinking out of my mommy's Mystery Mouse Gatul cup.
Nice.
I'm actually having, just because somebody will ask, the I'm doing this, it's Vermont Spirits number 14. If you ever see this, pick it up. It's delicious. So this is a American bourbon whiskey that's made up in Vermont. We actually went to the distillery. I didn't get this bottle from them because I finished that one a while ago. But it's finished with pure Vermont maple syrup. So it has a very slight sweetness to it and a strong maple flavor that I adore. So yeah, check that out. But anyways, so John, what's going on with you? What do you have going on in your world?
Oh, running anything all exciting? Over. Yeah. So, hey, a ton of different directions. My day job, Huntress, is still moving and shaking, having a blast there. We've been trying to get into some like Microsoft 365 and management and MDR for that aspect. So that's a little bit interesting because I now have to explore more of the Azure Active Directory and just kind of keep the identity management and all that right. Some cloud aspect, cheesy stuff. The YouTube thing is still kind of going strong. I'm trying to pull together some of the other relationships and partnerships, and it's great to keep kind of cruising out content. Some cool opportunities with that, because Sneak, one of the great companies we work with, they're hosting like a Fetch the Flag or a Capture the Flag competition, and I'm hosting it, so I'll get put together the infrastructure and the challenges and all that. And
what is that scheduled for?
That'll be late October, I think October 27th or so.
And if anybody is interested in that, where would they find more information?
I'll be screaming and shouting about it on the YouTube channel, for one thing.
Perfect.
And Sneak, if you're kind of Googling or looking around for them, Sneak Fetch the Flag. I know, different from a Capture the Flag, but they like to be a little bit cutesy with their dog mascot. Patch is the name. So very they cool. Fetch the Flag. You can probably find that online.
Very cool.
So running all over the place, staying busy, trying to squeeze in some vacation time, but travel for me, we have the Hackers Teaching Hackers event coming up that I'm very, very flattered to keynote. I was really honored when they reached out and asked if we could do that.
Cool.
And I'll be at Wild West Hacking Fest, just bringing to the end of the year, I guess. Busy.
So jealous. Wild West Hacking Fest was my very first conference ever.
Really?
It was. I had met somebody online on the Twitters who had told me about it, and they were like, yeah, it's great, it's, you know, I don't know if they're still capping it, but back then I think they capped it at something like 800 or something really small. And so the employer that I had at the time wouldn't approve anything like a DEF CON in Vegas. So I put together Wild West Hacking Fest, went to that. That was a ton of fun. I got to meet so many people. And that's actually where I met Bryson Bort. Was
excellent.
And then we became friends. But yeah, that was, I always suggest that conference to people if they're able to make it. It's just the smallness of it allows for it to be so intimate, and you really get a chance to, you know, if you want to seek out your favorite speaker, usually that's an option. And, you know, at some point you're going to run into them, because it is a pretty small, you know, small place and small town. And it's just, even the town is just adorable. It's a cool place to just go and hang out. But yeah, I have a friend that lives there and actually lives in Deadwood. And so that is who, yeah, told me about it. And yeah, it's, I mean, you think that people think that like when DEF CON goes, you know, the hackers show up in DEF CON, like everyone you see on the street has their DEF CON badge. And, and you know, that is true, but it is even more true in Deadwood, because I think Deadwood has like such a small like community. And when the hackers descend upon it, there's just, all you see are hackers walking around. But very cool. That's exciting.
Have you been before, Matt? Have you ever been to Wild West Hacking Fest or DEF CON? Or I don't know, how much trade shows or security conferences are you in and out of these days?
Yeah, so that's kind of like Ursula had asked about what some of the things, that resources that I use, and conferences were a big one. So nice. I went to the same conference the same time Ursula went, but that was before I knew her. I remember seeing her, and I know I followed her on Twitter, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I follow her on Twitter, but I was like, I'm really shy and introverted, so I don't, you know, hey, I know you from Twitter, so I just stayed quiet. But that was, I had a blast, and I also recommend people going there over DEF CON for sure. DEF CON's awesome because it's in Vegas and it's an experience, but Wild West Hacking Fest is good for that. Like you said, it's very small and very intimate, and you get to have lunch with like really famous people in the industry. I got to have drinks with N80 from Dual Core and Dave Kennedy, like nice. One of the nights, and I thought that was wild. And I have a few embarrassing stories from that, but it mostly involves alcohol, so that's not very good. But they learned that people from Wisconsin like to party, that's for sure.
Nice.
I'm trying to go this year again. I'm trying to get our employer to pay for it, but we'll see. Yeah.
Let me know, because I would love to do that too.
I went to Reno last year, or when they had the Way West Hacking Fest in Reno. I went to that one, which it was really good, but it was during like the COVID, the pandemic stuff. And I think that definitely limited it a lot, but we still had a blast. Like I got to hang out with John, and like, that was pretty cool, and ride a mechanical bull, and we got a couple photos of us where he popped in and photo bombed us. And yeah, that was fun.
Nice.
That's awesome.
I actually, I'm so embarrassed. I didn't know who Dual Core was when I went to that conference. And so Bryson and I had met a few days, maybe, I don't know, 2 days before. And so Bryson was like, come on, Ushi, let's go sing with them. And I mean, I'm always up for literally anything. I always say I'm a bad influence, but I'm also easily influenced. So if you're like, let's do this, I'm like, sure. And so I actually got to get on stage with Dual Core while they were doing their set. And that was super fun. And then I actually forgot. My second talk that I ever did in InfoSec was for Wild West Hacking Fest. Was that last? 2 years? I don't know. 2020. So 2020, 2021. They ended up canceling it. So maybe it was 2021 that it was supposed to go, and then it got canceled. I was so bummed. That was supposed to be my first in person, but it was still really awesome. And everybody there is so great to work with. But yeah, very cool.
So speaking of nerdcore rappers, that's another resource I think that like gets me going and gets the drive on. Like I listen to a lot of nerdcore rap. I listen to Dual Core, Whitey Cracker, and Young Internet. Like those are my favorite. And I know definitely during the OSCP, I had it just blasting down here in the basement. yeah, they even, I don't know if you knew this, Ursula, but they have someone made a song. I don't know who it is, but it's called Try Harder. And it's like a rap song for the OSCP. And it's really good. Like, it's really motivating to me. And I actually took some of the lines and took them literally. Like, when you need a break, like, go upstairs, brush your teeth, do some push-ups. And that definitely helped taking breaks and coming back, especially for those standalone boxes where I kind of struggled a little bit more. But, yeah, nerdcore rap. One of our coworkers is taking the OSCP right now. I don't know if you knew that, Ben Martin. Yeah, Ben's taking it.
It's that's my teammate.
Yeah. So I sent him a bunch of songs to listen to. Awesome. And I even sent him the, if you're a fan of Mr. Robot, Elliot Alderson has a scene where he's being watched by some bad guys, and he's using their computer to hack into like another Evil Corp network. And he has like a phrase in there. He's like talking about what he's doing, and he's explaining things, and they're showing like him developing an exploit, and it's like real code that he's writing. And he has a line, he says, I live for this shit. And I thought that was so awesome. So I played that right before I took my exam, and All right, get in the mode. Like, come on, you live for this shit. Like, let's do it. And yeah,
I'm gonna go
find
up.
That scene again.
Yeah, it's good. They got it cut on YouTube, just that one scene, and it's really good. It's one of my favorite scenes because they, I think, what was it? I at the time I looked it up, but like it was real exploits that he was developing, and he was going after real vulnerabilities. And if you can like take snippets of the code, you might be able to like figure out what he was like doing.
Very cool. One of the things I really liked about Mr. Robot was the, not the realness of it, but the accuracy, I think, of the show. And how, you know, we've seen so many shows that highlight technology as just being like, you know, hackers sitting there, I'm in. And although, of course, it was, you know, there was some sensationalism with it, but a lot of it was, you know, very accurate to what hacking is. So I thought that was really awesome. And then of course, you know, like Dave Kennedy got a cameo of his name in there, which I thought was so cool. Yeah, very cool. Well, I know that it's getting close to the time that we have booked, and I'm so thankful that both of you joined. But before we leave, I do, you know, the majority of the people who check out our podcast are, you know, either new in InfoSec, trying to get into InfoSec. That's a huge portion of our very small fan base. And I love asking just kind of every person that we have on, what is your advice that you would give to somebody who's either getting into it or trying to further their career here in InfoSec? So I would love to hear from both of you and kind of what advice that you would shoot out there to those who are listening. Matt, you want to go first?
Sure, but I do have unconventional advice. I feel like I did.
I think everybody needs that though, because a lot of us are coming from unconventional places.
Yeah. I think having a goal helped a lot for me, and the goal wasn't typically what people have. And my goal was like money. Like that was my big goal. And I was like, I want to be here in this many years. I want to make, you know, this much money in 5 years. And what do I have to do that? So going out to conferences, and then I started talking to people, and I got real personal sometimes. Like, so how much do you make? Like, I'm just curious, like, what do you know? And why do they pay you that much money? And I kind of learned like what it took to like get, you know, to be successful in this industry. And I ran with that. Like, that person knows that, so then I should know that too. So I'd go home and read books, go online. I think YouTube was one of the biggest resources. There's so many videos. And yeah, I think just having a goal and talking to people and networking is a big thing.
I would like to point out too, though, that you enjoy this. It's not just money.
Some days, right?
and I only say that because, you know, I think that you have to have at least some interest versus just wanting to make money. I mean, I guess if you're just really good at memorizing things, but I feel like I have to be really motivated in whatever I'm learning and in order for it to really stick in my head. And I love this industry for the same reasons. It's enabled me to not live paycheck to paycheck, and I don't have to worry about, you know, where my son's therapy bills will get paid. But it's also like, you know, you enjoy it, right? I mean, otherwise I don't think you'd be sitting on Hack the Box every night.
Yeah, no, I enjoy like the coolness, like the hacking of it and all that stuff. So that's definitely what keeps me going for sure. And then working for the companies that we work for, like you get exposed to a lot of cool stuff, a lot of terrible things that are happening, but like that's what makes it kind of interesting. And once, you know, you want to learn how people are doing these bad things and how do we stop them? And yeah.
Very cool. So John, what advice would you give to our listeners out there?
Oh man, I don't know. I feel like I always sound like a broken record because I'm a huge, huge advocate for like capture the flag or just hands-on activities, stuff to be able to poke and play and practice, like try Hack Me or Hack the Box or whatever you kind of are having fun with. Seriously, just go. And I know Matt was saying it earlier, like just dive in and hack on stuff because that's the best way to learn and practice and kind of get sharper. If I could, though, I would probably spin that a little bit because like, look, it's one thing to do that and then maybe you soak up all the knowledge, but You can get so much more mileage if you share that knowledge. Like, hey, turn that into a write-up, or I don't know, make a video or put something on your blog, or give that info out to other folks, because then for one thing, they get to learn and maybe you get to learn just as well, because a lot of folks can say like, hey, it's cool that you use this trick, but if you use this technique or you're using this tool, it could have saved you so much time, or it could have done it so much faster, or they introduce you to new things. So it's an incredible feedback loop when you share and show your work. So seriously, don't sleep on that.
Yeah. There's research that shows that the way that people learn best, there's like a pyramid of learning, and one of the largest ways that people learn is by teaching. And because in order to be able to teach somebody, you have to really kind of understand that, and you have to be able to figure out how to share that knowledge in a way that people are going to be able to receive it. And so the smallest ways that we learn are by watching or hearing. The next biggest way that we learn is by doing. And then the next biggest is actually by teaching. And I always thought that that was so interesting, because it seems counterintuitive, like, well, yeah, if I teach it, then I'm an expert. But that's not always necessarily the truth. And I think that people have to realize that that's why a lot of Dallas hackers, they have their kind of their protocol for their meetings is that they want people to share something, and it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if you're just sharing that I learned how to make a file in Linux and I'm going to tell you about it today. It doesn't matter how small you think the thing is, just teach somebody, because one, somebody doesn't know what you know, even though you think that what you know is like everybody knows it. I constantly find myself thinking like, oh, well, those people must know that. Like, if I know it, then they know it. And that's not always true. And then, yeah, by teaching others and sharing our knowledge with others, it solidifies it in our head and we learn better. I love that. I would add to that of going to meetups, especially if you're like brand new in the industry, going to meetups, meet with the people. It does two things. You learn things, you get to, interact with people, you have a sense of community, and it just really fosters that, that learning and being around people that are similar to you. Right on. Well, you guys, this was so much fun. I'm so glad that, that you were able to join us, John. I got to ask, right? Everybody's going to want to know, Matt, did you have any idea that I was bringing John on?
I didn't.
You didn't?
That was a big surprise. I had no idea what you were going to pull out. I was like, well, she didn't send me nothing in the mail, so it's not whiskey. I was thinking whiskey for some reason. You're going to give me a bottle of whiskey or something. This is much better getting to meet.
I should have sent you some whiskey. But
no,
yeah.
I have plenty.
you have no idea how difficult this was, because John agreed to do this months ago. And so I reached out. I think I reached out to John first and said, or maybe I don't know, because I've been asking you to be on the podcast, but when you started sharing some of his videos, I was like, oh my gosh, we have to see if we can make this happen. And John was so gracious and absolutely has been very flexible with everything. And I was so excited. But yeah, then you were like, I'm so busy right now. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it was always keeping studying. That's what got me busy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I share a lot of your videos, John, at work. That's for sure.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
The VB script deobfuscation ones are like my favorite. I like
sweet.
It.
Yeah, I gotta get back to some of those. They're a lot of fun. I was looking back at our Twitter DMs, and yeah, we first contact from you is in the month of May. And then when we ran into each other at DEF CON, we were like, we're going to do this podcast. We're going to do this. It's going to be the surprise. It'll be fun. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot that that's happening.
Well, and then it was funny because as soon as you gave me two dates, I immediately went to John's Calendly link and was like, I got to book him. And so it was funny because I didn't even really reach out to John after that, because I got an email back and I was like, all right, cool. We're on the schedule. Everything's good. And then I had reached out to John just to kind of be like, hey, so this is what I'm thinking as far as the surprise goes. And John was like, so remind me, do we already set this up?
What is happening when again?
what are we doing? But yeah, I have been so excited, you guys. This is actually going to be our first episode of the season. We've kind of been on a hiatus for a while because, you know, life and whatnot, but we're super excited to get kind of back into it. We've got a few really awesome people lined up already and in the works, but I'm so glad that this got to be our first one, both because Matt did such an amazing job, and I'm proud of you. I'm so proud to tell people about what an amazing job you did, because I know I have not been through OSCP myself yet, but I know how difficult that is. And I've had a lot of friends who did, very smart individuals who did not pass the first time. And then Matt goes in there and is all like 3.5 hours. So, yeah. So excited. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me. Thank you everybody for tuning in and listening to this recording. I can't wait to, you know, just let you see everything we've got coming up this season. Thank you again to Matt and to John for joining us. This has just been so awesome. All right. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Hey everyone, it's Ushi. Before we get to our next really cool episode. I did just want to say a few words, and apparently so do the dogs. Real quick, I just want to thank everybody for remaining our loyal fans. All five of you are just amazing to me, and everybody who shows up and watches or listens to an episode. We're just so thankful that you guys have stuck with us. I know that we have not put out a lot of content. In the last couple of years, we have just been absolutely overwhelmed with life. As anybody who, you know, reads our Twitter knows, we have a lot going on, and I'm hoping that we are coming to an end of a lot of really difficult stuff, and we are going to be putting together a really awesome lineup of podcasts for you coming up, and we are just so excited. We have a plan. We have scheduled guests, and we are just super, super excited to get that to you. So thank you guys again for remaining to show up and support us. You absolutely have no idea what that means to me, and I appreciate every single one of you. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode.